Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, senior fellow, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. The professor has posted a piece at The Hill I recommend to everyone, because it confronts the puzzles these last days of demonstrations, protests, vanity reporting from American academia in complete unacceptable language about praising Hamas. Very strange. Very strange also demonstrating in some fashion that American academia has lost the moral strength of the campuses I remember in the 20th century. During the Vietnam War, was not an easy solution for campus leadership in the 1960s and 1970s. And yet nothing as close to what I'm witnessing now. Columbia University has closed its campus to the public in these hours. Harvard University, however, to my knowledge, has not done the same. Professor, let's start with Harvard and its response to this demonstration, I don't know what else to call it, by Harvard students in sympathy with Hamas. What has happened to the leadership at Harvard? Because over the last century, it's been regarded as a harbinger of where all of academia has been going.
Well, the problem with Harvard, quite simply, is it has given up the defense of Western civilizations and has allied itself with all sorts of individuals who think that the only achievements that you could turn to the West for are abusive native tribes, slavery, and similar activity. Nobody that I know wants to pretend those activities maybe not exist or to defend them in any way. But because you understand all that doesn't mean that you don't teach the great glories of Western civilization, its art, its culture, its technological prowess and advances. So you start doing that, and then in fact what happens is by looking at only one side, you kind of think of the United States as though it's become something like Hamas, the terrorist organization. You bring in all sorts of people, and what they do is they accentuate this point by point, day by day, drop by drop, inch by inch. What they always do is they come out and they denounce American institutions. And what happens is that gives the open area for people who truly despise the United States to come up and start to speak. One of the things to say about this, we don't know how many of these people there are, but we do know that the people on the other side too often have been cowed. And one of the things that did happen with the Harvard situation, what happens very commonly, is you get 31 organizations signing something. And this happened to me once when I defended Justice Kavanaugh. It turned out there were 60 NYU organizations that said I ought to be removed. And one of my friends who was a student says, don't believe any of that. What you do is you get one or two people from all of these organizations, they put the thing up without having any meaning, and they're trying to bind the rest of their population. And as Lauren Summers said, that's probably what happened in the situation at Harvard. So in effect, that's kind of good news that you have some people who were falsely represented as being part of this. But what happens is even if you take that into account, the whole place has become essentially a moral desert at its highest level. What you do is you try to go in there and ask yourself, is there anybody who's going to speak against DEI? Anybody who's going to speak about the various controls of corporation? Is there anybody who's going to basically say it's moral to be a Republican? Is there going to be any Republican, any libertarian who's going to actually be put into the government? Is there going to be any defense of religious liberty for minority groups of one kind or another? And all you see in Harvard is a kind of a passivity. And what they do is they claim that neutrality is the optimal virtue, citing often the Calvin Report, an admirable doctrine from the University of Chicago. But if you read the fine print in that report, even they admit that neutrality is not going to be an accepted standard under extraordinary circumstances. And if these aren't extraordinary circumstances, I don't know what fits into the particular bill. And so what they lack is any form of moral courage to stand up in an emphatic way. The president of Harvard is a very weak appointee. She should never have been appointed president at all. But what happens is all these constant forces that are constantly trying to rectify the wrongs of the past, many of which did not take place, is what's going on. Just to give you one example, I mean, I believe that, you know, the George Floyd situation was open and shut. This man died of fentanyl. If you look at the records, you look at the exhausted tape, it seems that. But there wasn't even any evidence. There wasn't even a decent trial. What happens is the moment you start to see something like this, you rally. And you rally in the streets. And anybody who disagrees with you is a horrible human being. Those kinds of rallies make it a lot easier to engage in the kind of activities that take place here. And so when you start looking to Palestinians, I would dare mess somebody. I'd love for them to show me. Here's a Palestinian group who says, we very much wish to have an independent country, but we find all these tactics abhorrent. You hear either silence on the one hand, or people waving flags and trumping over the bodies of dead individuals as if they're heroic activity. Harvard has to stand up against that. Columbia has to stand up against that. You cannot run a university, in effect, when you admit into your ranks people who wish to kill the person sitting next to them. Remember, there's a kind of a chilling thing in which some learned Yale professor, I believe it was, said all Israelis are militants or combatants because they're sitting in a territory that they don't belong in. All Hamas and Palestinians are victims because they should have this territory. And so now it's perfectly okay to describe the situation in which you say a Hamas victim has murdered a Jewish combatant aged 6 months by beheading her. I mean, I just need to know where the world begins under this stuff. And if you do not believe in Western civilization, it will die. Remember what Edmund Burke said, if people of good will do nothing, bad will come. And silence and indifference under these circumstances is not there. And it turns out it's because of the utter imbalance in university faculties and politics. If you've got yourself a situation where 99% of your people are to the left of the Democratic Party on the faculty, which happens in many departments, you'll never be able to get a fair balance. And we are reaping today the terrible sins of academic administration that have happened over the last 10 or 15 years.
Professor Richard Epstein, Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution, writing at The Hill about academia in America right now. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Plan B made over-the-counter emergency contraception legal more than 20 years ago. It's a safe, effective backup birth control option that helps prevent pregnancy before it starts by temporarily delaying ovulation. Plan B is the number one OBGYN recommended brand and the only one that you can find at all major retailers in all 50 U.S. states. There's no minimum age requirement and you don't need an ID to buy it. You can order it through DoorDash and other major delivery platforms too. That's freedom to be. Use as directed.
It's Scotty B. from Elvis Duran and the Morning Show On Demand. And do me a favor, think back to your first dog. I bet you're smiling right now because Daisy or Muggsy or Bear or Miss Buttercup or whatever their name was a special dog that helped define your childhood. And they probably ate Pedigree. It's the food you fed the dogs you loved. Well, it was good then and it's better now. With over 40 years of trusted nutrition supporting six health essentials in every bowl, Pedigree dog food is still the go-to for good dogs. All these years later, Pedigree. Good then, better now.
In the next Rare Well Done, the Thrive team helps two people with CIDP tackle the tricky issue of friendship.
Hello.
They say the quiet part out loud.
In the event my CIDP worsens, my friends might decide it's too much.
Get nudged outside their comfort zone.
I don't know if I want to.
To forge stronger connections.
The best thing that's ever happened to me, our friendship.
To Rory.
Watch Rory and Michelle take on the friendship factor on the next episode of Rare Well Done.